It's Christmas time. Lucy comes in where Charlie Brown is standing and says, "Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. 'Tis the season of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Therefore, I suggest we forget all our differences and love one another." Charlie Brown's face lit up at this and says, "That's wonderful, Lucy. I'm so glad you said that. But tell me, do we have to love each other only at this season of the year? Why can't we love each other all year long?" Lucy retorts, "What are you, a fanatic or something? If we really get serious about Christmas, it seems that we are branded by the world as some sort of fanatic. Yet Christmas is supposed to be the time of peace on earth and goodwill toward men." I want to read something that Sheila read earlier from Luke 2 verses 8 to 14. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." How wonderful our homes could be, how wonderful our lives could be, how wonderful our world could be if we really did put into practice the blessing of peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And as Christmas comes, we think once again, maybe it's not impossible. Maybe we really could have our hearts filled with love. Maybe we really could be kind to one another, and not just once a year, but all year long. I'm sure most of us have done all our Christmas shopping. There are a few people that leave it right until Christmas Eve before they do it. But most of us have already got it done. But most of us spend a lot of time, a great deal of time and thought, choosing the right gift for the special person in our life. We think about their needs and wants, what might make them happy. We then go shopping, make the purchase, often spending more money than we planned. We gift wrap and anxiously wait the moment that the loved one will open our special gift. And when he or she opens the box and looks at our gift, we eagerly anticipate expressions of joy and delight. But if there are no expressions of joy and delight, we'll be most disappointed, won't we? Because in receiving the gift, and even while we're watching the faces of others to see how they receive our gifts, others will be watching us too to see how we receive their gifts. You see, giving and receiving is an important part of the Christmas season. What was the gift? What was God's gift to us at Christmas time? I'm sure most of you will say he gave his only begotten son. Of course, you'll be right. Others may say he gave us evidence of his love. And of course, that would be right too. But I want to be a little more specific than that. For in actually, God gave us several very special, very valuable gifts. Firstly, he gave us, in Jesus Christ, God gave us the opportunity for the forgiveness of our sins. You see, we will never have peace with our fellow man until first we find peace with ourselves. And we'll never really find peace with ourselves until we're at peace with God. And we never can be at peace with God until our sins have been forgiven. I read something in the papers a few months ago that a cookbook was recalled. I've never heard of a cookbook being recalled. Cars, toasters and baby seats have been recalled, but not a cookbook. The cookbook was recalled because one recipe had left out an important ingredient. The producers of the book realised that if someone followed the directions of the recipe and left out that ingredient they put together could actually blow up in their face. So because of that hazard, the book was recalled. You see, God has given us the recipe for life. He says, you want peace? Then here is the recipe. Find forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Live according to my rules and principles, the ingredients that makes it all possible. But if you leave out some of his ingredients or stick in some of the world's ingredients of the world, then what happens? Life blows up in your face. That is why there is so much being downhearted, so much rejection, because too many people are following the wrong recipes of life. So God says, here's my gift. It's not just a gift of a baby, but it's the gift of forgiveness and salvation. The second thing that God offers is help in our present situation. I think of the shepherds sitting on the hillside, watching sheep all night long. They were poor, with not much prospect for improving their lives. Life was hard and harsh for them, without much hope of it ever getting better. And then, one glorious night, the angel appeared and made this wondrous announcement: unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly everything was changed. God had become real to them. God had come to help them, to be their Saviour, to bring peace on earth, goodwill towards men. At the other end of the spectrum were the wise men, the Magi, people with power, authority and wealth. Yet there was an emptiness in their lives as well. So when they saw the star, they came because they needed something too. Whether rich or poor, powerful or weak, whoever we are, we need help. And God has promised that when Christ enters our hearts and lives, then we will receive his help. And when we're helped by the Holy Spirit, then we develop a more sympathetic feeling towards one another too. At Christmas time, we seem to be more sensitive to one another, don't we? So we go around picking up things or reaching into our pockets for help to help someone in need, or delivering food to someone who is hungry, because Christmas reminds us that God reached down to help us, and now we want to help one another. Maybe there is more good in us than we give ourselves credit for. Maybe we spend too much time beating ourselves over the head, telling ourselves how bad we are. We were shocked a few years ago when we saw the senseless shooting at a high school in America and in Canada. We were moved by the scenes of their sorrow and joy. How much more moved should we be to realise that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has visited our world to cry with us, to rejoice with us, to help us over the hurts and bumps of life itself. One final thing that God gave us at Christmas time, He gave us Jesus, who is hope for the future. You know what kept the shepherds going? It was hope. God had made a promise to their people. He would one day send a Messiah, the Anointed One, and when the Messiah came, everything would be all right again. And that hope buried in the hearts and lives of the people of Israel. You know what kept the wise men going? It was hope. Every night they would go out and search the heavens, looking for that star of promise. And they knew when they saw it, they must follow it wherever it led them, because it was a sign from God and it proclaimed the birth of a king. So hope kept them going. And God brings us hope. God brings hope to us at Christmas. Seems an impossible dream. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There will always be wars and rumours of wars, as it says in the New Testament towards the end of the Bible. The poor will always be hungry, and we will always have to deal with the terror, crime, violence that we see every day. But there is one thing that keeps us going. One day, heaven is going to open. Jesus will come back. The promise will be fulfilled of peace and goodwill toward men for all eternity. And I pray that is all for us here, that when God does come back, we will be ready for Him. One of the stories on TV is about a boy by the name of William. Now, William was big for his age and a little slow, but he was a good boy and all the kids liked him. In fact, they wanted him for a friend because he was big enough to take their part if they needed him. When it comes to the Christmas play to be presented, William wanted to be a shepherd, but the teacher decided that she would make him an innkeeper, because he'd be a better innkeeper than a shepherd, as he was so big. So she gave him the task of being a rough and ready innkeeper. In the programme, when Mary and Joseph came to the inn and knocked on the door, William opened it, and when they asked for a place to stay, he harshly said, "There is no place for you to stay. There is no room in the inn." Joseph said, "But my wife is tired and she's expecting a baby. Isn't there just a small room where we could rest?" Once again, William, with roughness, said in his voice, "You'll have to find a room somewhere else. There is no room here." Once more, Joseph pleaded, "Just for some place for them to stay the night." Then there was a long pause, one of those pauses that is embarrassing, both for the audience and for its cast. William had forgotten his line. Back behind the props, you could hear the prompter saying, "No, be gone." That was William's next line. Finally, William, with softness in his voice, said, "No, be gone." Mary and Joseph turned to leave. But as they did, William regained his voice and said, "Wait a minute, you can have my room and I'll sleep in the shed." In the stunned silence that followed, the teacher thought the play would be ruined, until she thought again of the words of a primary school boy who may have communicated the real truth of Christmas better than any. "No, you can stay in my room and I'll sleep in the shed." Isn't that what Jesus did? "No, you don't have to die for your sins. I'll take your place on the cross." "No, you can enter the heavenly home. I'm preparing a place for you there." Christmas made a difference. God wrapped it up and gave it. Now he stands back and waits to see what we will do. Will we receive it with joy, or will we treat it with indifference and rejection? God waits to see, because that we what we do with his gift, with the gift, is also what we do with him. If we accept the gift, then we receive him and his forgiveness, his help, his hope. But if we reject it, then we also reject him. God offers the gift again this morning. He waits to see what you will do. I pray that you will receive him with open arms of love, and as we extend his invitation, as we stand and sing our final hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."